Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland. South Dakota has an estimated 5,500 women veterans, and VA officials are working to connect them with benefits and health care. Some women who served in the military don't realize they have access to health care tailored to military members. An annual conference this month in Sioux Falls helps these women meet other women veterans. SDPB's Keely Boltina had this conversation with the Women's Veterans Program Manager in Sioux Falls. Her name is Charlotte McGrath.
Charlotte, thank you for joining me today. I want to start by playing a piece just a little bit from a veteran that we spoke with at the Conference for Women Veterans. And she talks about how she didn't always feel like as a woman she was accepted on the same level as men. This is Cynthia Altschmitz.
I was in when most women definitely weren't welcome. I was also in the unit, first unit, that had to qualify with the M16s. We also had to test to do men's PT. This was the time that they had kind of eliminated the draft program, and women didn't, you know, it was only for men. I had two older brothers who had been in college and in school. Their draft numbers were 4 and 8. So when they found out that I had signed up, they were so embarrassed. They didn't tell anybody till over 9 months I'd been in before that actually fess up and say, oh, she's in the Army, you know, out of the side of the mouth, because they were so embarrassed to have their sister in the military.
Now, you work with women who have been in the military or are in the military. Tell me, is that something that you often hear from them, that they had to feel embarrassed or that their family members were not as proud of them as if it were men in the military?
I think there have been stereotypes in the past about, if you will, what kind of woman joins the military, and really inappropriate, incorrect stereotypes. I don't hear that today from active service members. You know, in the 1970s, there was a cap on the number of women veterans. It was capped at 2%. And so it was somewhat of an oddity for a woman to be in the military, and they were much more of a minority than they are today. You know, and in working with older veterans, you will still hear some that don't believe women should be in the military. That's the general public as well, not just with veterans. But I really think the military today is overall more accepting, and I think women do feel more welcome and more a part of the military system than they did certainly 40 years ago.
I feel like that seems like it would present a problem when you're trying to reach out to women who served in the military decades ago if they aren't particularly proud of their service or were told by someone, anyone, that they shouldn't be.
You know, we often say women veterans are invisible, and part of it is because they protect their identity as a veteran. But the other piece is a lot of women don't recognize themselves as veterans because maybe they didn't serve in combat or they didn't serve overseas. And what they will say was, well, I'm not really a veteran. I just worked as a file clerk, or I was just a cook, or I was just behind the scenes, when they're very much a veteran, the same as their male counterparts who may have served boots on the ground or served in combat. Their role is just as important. It's just a very different kind of role. So oftentimes when I talk with women, I will ask them if they served, and they say, yes, I did, but I can't come to the VA, or I'm not a veteran, and they'll give me those same reasons that are very inaccurate. So you're right. It's extremely difficult to do outreach to women veterans because I don't know who they are, and women veterans themselves don't identify as that. Oftentimes we'll say, instead of women veterans, we'll say women who served in the military. There are women who at least will identify partially with that.
How do you begin that outreach then? Is it really just that word of mouth? Once you are able to get to a woman who says, yes, I'm a veteran, then maybe the people that she encounters? Or are there specific ways the VA is trying to reach out to people who are not getting the services that are available to them?
It is really difficult. I think for us, the best way has been word of mouth. Other women who come to VA to get services will encounter other women veterans. But again, most women veterans you talk to don't know of any other women veterans in their community. We have the annual conference. We do a retreat for women. Last year we had a book club, trying to get it out into the media as much as we can. Hopefully that will prompt women to think about their experiences, and perhaps they will reach out and ask the question. We also do a lot more with guard and reserve units. The younger women seem to be more in tune with what their services and benefits are, much more than in prior generations. And I think the military does a much better job now, when someone is discharged, letting them know what services and benefits are available. And that wasn't the case years ago.
It's interesting that you say that, because I have another soundbite from Cindy Alt-Schmitz, and she says pretty much exactly what you said about not knowing about those benefits. Let's listen to this one.
I didn't feel I received any benefits, nothing from the VA, because I wasn't in during wartime. I was in peacetime. I wasn't in the Vietnam War by about a month of my cyanide date. So being peacetime, I felt kind of what I'd been told is you didn't receive any benefits. You can't be into any service agents, organizations, you know, the American Legion, VFW, any of those. You can't belong to any of those. And so I'm like, okay, well, you know, whatever. Just lately now have I started being able to feel okay with saying I'm a woman veteran. Because actually, I was telling my grandson last night, I'm going over to a woman's conference because I was in the Army. You were in the Army? And I'm like, yes, you didn't know that. You know, so it's one of those things, actually, to just wake the public up. They've kind of started changing the conferences. It's not talking about all the negative and the things that happened to you while they were in there. It talks about now what's available to you now. You know, the medical has really improved for women. And the services over at Sioux Falls is awesome. We have our own, you know, women's department now, which is wonderful. So in the last 10 years, the amount of changes that have been done over at the VA center, I personally cannot complain about any of the care that I have received. I've had excellent doctors and treatments over at the VA.
Charlotte, while that was playing, you were kind of shaking your head. You seemed to understand some of what she was saying, or is this pretty typical of people?
It is, and people don't know the benefits. They just, even though they might know they're a veteran, they have just never thought of coming to VA for health care or seeking benefits from the Benefits Administration.
What then are some of the benefits for women who've served in the military that VA offers?
Well, the benefits side of the house has things from home loans, education, job training, also pension and compensation. There's just a myriad of benefits available to all veterans. Then there's the healthcare side, which obviously we provide inpatient care, outpatient services, home care, nursing home services, and again, just a wide variety that veterans can take advantage of. There's also the cemetery piece of Veterans Administration. It's so there's the three aspects: benefits, healthcare, and the cemetery.
One thing that I didn't realize, which makes total sense, is that women veterans now have the option of, you know, OB care, of care that is healthcare that is really specific to women, and that wasn't always the case either.
Right. VA provides for any health care that a veteran, that a woman veteran needs. If we don't provide it on site, such as you mentioned, OB care, we provide for it in the community where the veteran lives or is close to, wherever she chooses to have it. Some of the other services that women are often unfamiliar with are infertility care, that's for men and women, contraceptive services, gynecology. There's a big emphasis now on integrative health services. So the VA is somewhat of a leader in terms of healthcare systems in providing chiropractic care, aromatherapy, acupuncture, massage, all under that health benefits package. You know, optometry care, hearing aids, audiology services, a lot of healthcare insurances don't pay for that. And those are benefits that the VA has for all veterans.
And those are things that I might not think of. And so certainly people have the opportunity to take advantage of this. Men and women can see what kind of healthcare benefits they have. I do think we need to talk about one other thing that Cynthia Alt-Schmitz talked about. We know that sexual assault is one of the topics people are really focused on in the military these days, and it's a national, international challenge. And I know that the VA is not exactly the same as the people who are making decisions in the military or, you know, allowing things to happen or trying to keep it from happening to people who are serving. But we should address this. We'll go ahead and let Cindy tell her story.
I unfortunately was also raped while I was in the military, which is unfortunately very common. My rape was, back then you are portrayed as a tramp and there's no help. So I just protected myself in the barracks. One night, a couple weeks later, I came down to get a can of pop, and in my barracks, half of the barracks was three floors of men. On the other half was men on first floor, women on second floor, and men on third floor. And so it's 50 women with 250 men in the same building. I came down, I looked, being very careful, came out to get a pop. While I was getting my pop, I was jumped by six or eight guys. They drugged me outside of the barracks. I'm screaming and hollering, fighting to get away, and they threatened me that if I tried to get their friend in trouble, they knew how to take me out. And I had only been in about 6 months, and so I had a 3-year term. And back then, you didn't get out, just in their opinion, just because you were raped.
Cindy also talks about the fact that she always tried to have a man with her to protect herself, which is just something I think we can agree you shouldn't have to do to stay safe. You deal with women veterans. What do you hear from them, and how do you try to help them if they've had these terrible experiences?
You know, the Department of Defense has really tried to do a lot over the last 10 to 20 years. And despite those efforts, the rate of military sexual assault is not declining. We still see women who come to VA, 1 in 4 acknowledge that they experienced this.
Acknowledge.
Correct. It's an important distinction because we believe that it has happened to many more women. So VA has taken a lot of effort to work on the culture to make it welcoming and safe to women. You know, you don't really think about that when you go for your own private health care if you're not a veteran, but it's very important to women veterans about their safety and their security. We try to have female staff or staff that women request and feel comfortable with. Oftentimes that's female staff. Our staff are trained in what are the after effects of military sexual trauma and how does someone respond what should they look for? You know, exams may need to be stopped because of someone is reacting to something that reminds them of their assault or their rape. We have locks on our exam room doors. We have curtains blocking the doors. Even down to our exam tables are required to face a certain way, all to help make a woman feel secure, safe, and really to protect her privacy and also her dignity. It can take a long while for someone to have their dignity restored, but anyone, regardless of their time in service, their financial eligibility, anyone who experienced military sexual trauma can come to VA and receive treatment for that, for anything surrounding that assault or trauma. So I think we look at all women particularly as potentially having experienced that, and what do we need to do to make sure we're a welcoming, safe environment for them?
Sure, because some of the things that they've experienced in the past have made them feel unsafe, or they've been told that they can't go to people and seek help. You're saying VA is a place where you can do that.
Correct. We're very much prepared for that. And, you know, Cindy alluded to her brothers saying, you know, she wasn't welcomed. And I just think civilian as well as veterans, once you've experienced an assault like that, that's often their reaction, that you feel unsafe in many different kinds of settings, but particularly healthcare can present vulnerabilities, and I think particularly in those settings. Oftentimes women will associate the VA with the Department of Defense, that they're somehow tied together or they're similar. I mean, we are, in that we only serve veterans, but we take very special efforts to acknowledge what may have happened to them and help women heal and become survivors despite that.
Charlotte, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for your time and willingness to share the services that VA has for its women veterans.
Charlotte McGrath is the Women Veterans Program Manager for the VA in Sioux Falls, and she talked with SDPB's Keely Boltina. For more information on benefits and options available to women who have served in the military, visit this story on our website. We'll set up a link to the VA's website for women that includes contact details for McGrath.